Good morning. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is the word of the Lord.
The epistle is from Romans 8:31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the epistle lesson that was just read. It's easy to say at the very center of the Christian faith is Christ. It's pretty obvious to us, but sometimes we have a tendency to forget it. Think of a wagon wheel. If you take the hub out of the wagon wheel and try to then use that wheel, what's going to happen? It's going to collapse pretty quickly. That's what happens when Christ is not at the center of a church, or the church, I should say. And when I talk about the church, I'm talking about all Christian churches under the banner of the church. So I'm not directing the comments necessarily that there's a problem here about this. A church without Christ can appear to be very busy, but they lack direction and they lack coordination, and they generally find these churches are the ones that try to please everyone. Everyone has to be happy. The Bible never says, "Blessed are those who go around in circles, for they shall be known as big wheels." You can have busy church where there's lots of activities going on, but it can also be a heartless church. again, for the center of the church itself, it must be Christ. Without it, it's like a spinning top. Take a spinning top made of clay. Put jelly inside and spin it. Well, that hardened clay isn't going to stay hardened that long, and you're going to have jam all over your kitchen floor. That's what happens when a church takes Christ out as its center. No church can hold it together without Christ as the center. The center cannot be a leader, cannot be the pastor, tradition, a particular denomination, not the way we've always done anything, or done anything, everything, try that again, and not the way we've always done things, not to anything, but ultimately to Jesus Christ alone. Now, the world wants a different core to our wheel. Some of it's the woke movement, and if you're not familiar with the woke movement, I would suggest you make yourself aware of it. We also live in a society that wants to be very inclusive. I was reading about the school in Seattle. They canceled Halloween. Now, okay, what's the big deal on that one? But it was the why. Because every kid may not come in a costume, and then they won't feel included. Now, wait a minute. And I like the author of the article that says, well, then have that principal work Thanksgiving week, because not every kid celebrates Thanksgiving, do they? And it said, take out Christmas week two, have them work then. But that's the type of world we live in. Now, we should be inclusive as far as inviting all people to church, welcoming everyone, regardless of their background or station in life. But again, Christ has got to be the center of everything. We talk about being evangelical in spirit. Yes, we have a responsibility to spread the word. Now, spreading the word, when we talk about spreading the word about the good news or gospel, it cannot be a gospel of happiness or contentment. And I'm thinking of Joel Osteen on this one, Mr. Happy, Happy, Happy Life. That's not spreading the gospel. The gospel is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, Christ has to be the center of everything. Now, I could go on and remind you that we are affirmed in our intention to be a people of inquiring minds, using the scripture as a source of hope and harmony. But our basic loyalty is not to a book alone, but to Christ, the living word. Last week, I talked about having have to have works that are connected to faith. So I discussed last week the relationship between works and faith. I also mentioned that last week that we only love because God loved us first. We cannot love, truly love anyone unless we are following the example of God Himself. You know, our church's website has the words scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone. All those things are wrapped around Jesus Christ. Again, He is the absolute center. Now, I've stressed several times now that Christ has got to be the center of everything. It's the center of our beliefs, what we do, and why we do it. Now, multiple times in this text, also used is the expression, all things work together for good. Well, the question is two questions, for whom and under what conditions? The text says, all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Don't get hung up on the word predestined, because otherwise we're going to have a Calvinist moment. But soon I will preach about predestination and what that actually means and how it affects our daily lives. Now, all things work together for good. If your focus is on loving God, listening for His purpose, and bringing shape by the image of His Son. Now, is the church as a whole going anywhere? Does it have a center? Yes, it does. We cannot afford to focus only on one or two things or three things if it's what God wants us to do through us. God wants us to do all things, make all things work together in Him who loves us, listen to Him, and be conformed to the image of His Son. In other words, God has set out things for us to accomplish. If we do it with Him as the center, He will make it succeed. And constantly we're trying to conform ourselves to the image of Christ. If you remember back in the days when you were in school, and they used to have the alphabet across the top over the chalkboard, and then you got those lovely, well, mine were green pieces of paper that had the lines on them, you know, the three lines, and you had to copy each letter, and then the teacher would come by and correct it. Well, that's what, it's sort of the idea of copying the image of Christ. We see Christ up there. Now, we try in our lives to copy that, and through His Word, He corrects us and says, no, I'm more like this. That's what it means to be in the image of God. Now, in the church, we take prayer seriously. We take God's Word seriously, evangelism, and the ministry of the church. Now, when a church is missing any one of those things, or people are missing any one of those focuses, you're missing out on some of the richness of the Christian life. All things work together to make it good. Now, further down in the text, it again talks about all things. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not with Him also give us everything else? Or will He not give us all things? Again, all things. Now, is it possible to do all that God requires? No. Is it possible within a church to do everything God requires? Again, no, because we're sinful human beings. We can start all the programs we want, we can volunteer all we want, but we'll always fall short of the glory of God. The only reason those things are acceptable to God is what Christ did for us. Now, preparing this sermon, I kind of got excited about the idea of receiving all things. Every ounce of energy to reach our possibilities. What are we capable of? Do we challenge ourselves enough? Now, there's got to be some motivation. Is it just to achieve something, or is it just success driven? Hopefully there's a much greater motivator. One great reality, that Christ died for you and I. He died for all of humanity, which, by the way, makes us very different than our Calvinist brothers who say He only died for those whom He was going to save, and the rest He condemned to hell before they were even born. What a sad, sad doctrine. But He died for us all. God has given our church what we need in Him. We don't need to weep over what we don't have. So what if we're not the biggest church in the block, but we're still spreading the Word of God in our own way? So who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will it be hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will generation gaps and chase and music? Will questions about motives or complaints about money? Will issues of race or problems of morality separate us from the love of Christ? And the answer is no. If we are focused on living out the love of Christ, not if we are focused on living out the love of Christ, not if we build trust and love towards one another, then nothing will separate us, nothing will destroy us, nothing will defeat us. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us all. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.